Take your Bible tonight and find Acts chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Acts, verses 26 through 40. I want you to think with me tonight about the traits of a successful soul winner. The writer of Proverbs says, "He who wins souls is wise." A soul winner is a wise person because a soul winner has God's eternal perspective. A soul winner understands that only the Word of God and the souls of men are eternal, and therefore he seeks to declare the Word of God to those eternal souls that they might be redeemed from sin and death and spend eternity in the presence of the Lord. And so let's think tonight about the traits of a successful soul winner. God wants to use you and me to lead others to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may be thinking, well, Pastor, if God wants to use me, why isn't God using me? And it may be that you are not usable. God never leaves a surrendered vessel unfilled with His Spirit. And He never leaves a Spirit-filled vessel unused. It may be that the problem is that God can't fill us because we're already full. Full of sin and self and flesh and pride and ambition and worldliness. Philip was a man who was used of God to win to saving faith in Jesus Christ, one of the most influential men in North Africa. Now, when Philip shared the gospel with this official from Ethiopia, he had no idea what a significant role in Ethiopian society that this man had. But he obeyed God, and God used him to bring this high official in the government of Ethiopia to a knowledge of Christ. And he did it in a personal soul-winning encounter. And we're going to read about that in just a moment in verses 26 through 40. But I want you to see that before Philip was a successful personal soul winner, or because he was a successful personal soul winner, he was also a successful mass evangelist. Look in chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. And when the crowds, that means the masses of people, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Verse 12, chapter 8, verse 12. And when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here was a man who was a successful mass evangelist, like a modern-day Billy Graham, if you please. But we're also going to see here that he was a very successful personal soul winner. And so with our Bibles open to Acts chapter 8, let's begin reading now in verse 26 and follow through all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse 40. Would you follow along, please, as I read the Word of the Lord? Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, when we think about personal soul winning or personal evangelism, there are various approaches that people have. There are some people who have what we might call the gangbuster approach. That is, you just come up to anybody and everybody you see on the street, you buttonhole them, you confront them, you grab them by the lapel and say, "Brother, are you saved?" You can get in trouble doing that. When I was a student in college and I was serving as youth pastor at First Baptist Church Selma, there was a young man there who had been saved out of the drug culture. Wonderfully and gloriously saved. Radically saved. Loved Jesus with all of his heart. And he wanted to talk to anybody and everybody that moved about Jesus. And one day he and I were standing in line at the McDonald's restaurant to get us a Big Mac and a Coke or something. And he was just going down the line, just talking to everybody face to face in a very confrontational way. And I thought one of those guys in the line was going to just ball up his fist and just knock him out there. And I was getting a little nervous there. That's one way to do it. I don't recommend that. Another approach we might call the Ivy League approach. That's just where you just dialogue. Now, I found out when I was a student here at Auburn University that one of the things that people like to talk about in the dorm, at least in my days, was religion. I was amazed at how much people who were very irreligious and certainly ungodly and lived godless lifestyles could talk for hours at a time late into the night about religion. And so you just dialogue. You dialogue about various religions and world religions and philosophies, but introduce Jesus into the conversation, and it gets a little threatening to them. You know, there's this Ivy League approach. You just talk about religion, but you never come up to the gospel. And then there's what we might call the mute approach. Now, a lot of Baptists have this one. And their idea of evangelism is, I'm just going to live a good, moral, pure, clean life. I'm going to be kind and nice to everybody, but I'm not going to say anything to anybody unless somebody says something to me. And if somebody wants to talk to me about God, I'll talk to them, but I'm not going to take the initiative. And you're just silent. It's sort of like the Lady Clairol approach. Only God in heaven knows for sure who's saved. Now, I want to say it's important that you and I live a good, clean, holy, moral life. Occasionally, someone will say to us, "What is it that's about you that's different?" But it's pretty rare. I've been saved almost 50 years in 2 months. I've been a Christian 50 years. I've been preaching for 40 plus years. And in all of my years as a Christian and in all of my years as a preacher of the gospel, I can count on the fingers of two hands the number of people who've just sought me out and said, "Tell me how to be born again. Tell me how to be saved." It just doesn't happen. Now, we find in Acts chapter 8 an account of a successful soul winner, and we find this description, this narrative, if you please, of how Philip dealt with this Ethiopian official. And so I want us to work through that because I believe we'll find here some help in our own walk with Christ and seeking to introduce others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice several things about Philip's method of soul winning. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 26 his sensitivity. Philip was sensitive to the promptings of the Lord. Verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" God spoke to Philip through an angel. And the angel of the Lord said, this is what you're to do. You're to go south, go down into the desert, go down to a road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Gaza's been in the news a lot in the last 3 weeks. Ancient part of the world. And so notice that this angel gave Philip this direction. The angel spoke. Now, you know, angels are different from people because angels, at least the holy angels, could never sing as you and I could sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. They can't sing that because they've never rebelled against God, not the holy angels, not the unfallen ones. The holy angels sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now, God uses angel to speak to Philip and to instruct Philip about what he was to do. And God wants to use you and me. God's method to get the gospel to lost people is saved sinners going to unsaved sinners and speaking to them the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord said, go south, go down to the desert road. Now, God will guide us if we'll be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. How will God speak to us? He will speak to us through Holy Scripture. He will speak to us through circumstances. He will speak to us as His Spirit speaks to us in our spirit. And so a successful soul winner is one who is sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It may be you're just going about your day and the Spirit of God says to you, I want you to speak to that individual. And you are to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit in that regard. So the first thing we notice about this man, Philip, and his soul-winning ministry was he was sensitive. Number two, we notice, I want you to see with me his flexibility. Look in verses 27 and 28 because he had to change his plans to obey the promptings of the voice of God through the angel of God. Verse 27, so he, Philip, started out. And on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chair reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And so not only was he sensitive, but he was also flexible. Now, flexibility and sensitivity are like twins. They're not one and the same, but they're very close. Sensitivity means I can hear from God. Flexibility means when having heard from God, I will obey the voice of God. Now, notice the flexibility of this man, Philip. He was in a great evangelistic crusade. We read back in chapter 8, verse 12, that many men and women had come to faith in Christ. And God was using him as a mass evangelist. And in the midst of all of that, the Lord said, I want you to leave this evangelistic crusade, and I want you to go talk. I want you to go down to this road from Jerusalem to Gaza. I have something there for you to do. And so he went. He obeyed the promptings of the Spirit of God. Verse 27 says, he started out on his way. He met or he found an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, this man was a responsible man. He was an important official. He would be the equivalent in the United States government today of the Secretary of the Treasury. But not only was he a responsible man, but he was also a religious man. Look again in verse 27. There we're told that this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, we don't know all the details or all the specifics. We just have to use a little sanctified imagination here to ask ourselves, why had he gone to Jerusalem to worship? He was an Ethiopian. He was from North Africa. Perhaps he had heard of the Jewish faith, of the monotheism, of the high moral and ethical standards that were practiced and taught by the Jewish people and taught in the Word of God. And so he was perhaps interested in that. He wanted to know more about that, and so he made the journey there. But I want you to know that this man, though he was a responsible man, and though he was a religious man, and you might even say he was a seeker of God or a God-fearer, he was also an unsaved man. He didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he probably was in the first century equivalent of Who's Who or Dun & Bradstreet, but he was not a Christian man. He was away from God, and he needed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we find Philip here. He's flexible. He changes his plans at the prompting of the voice of God to go and seek out this important official. But not only sensitivity and flexibility, but number three, I want you to see that about this man Philip and his successful soul winning, that he took the initiative. And I want you to see this in verses 29 and 30. Philip took the initiative with this Ethiopian official. Verse 29 says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And here's where Philip takes the initiative. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. He went up to the chariot. He asked a question. Now, if you and I are going to be successful in sharing the gospel and actually leading people to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be we're going to have to take the initiative, as Philip did. And notice how Philip made the approach. Notice the first thing that Philip said. Do you understand what you're reading? He asked a question. Those who are successful in introducing sinners to Christ learn that you've got to take the initiative. The two hardest parts in sharing the gospel, one is getting started, and the other is bringing people to surrender to Christ after the gospel presentation. But you've got to get over the threshold of sharing, of getting the conversation going. And one of the best ways to get the conversation going is to ask a question. There's nothing like a question to open up an opportunity to bear witness for Christ Jesus. You might ask about their family. Tell me about your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. Or you might ask about your occupation. Where do you work? Do you enjoy the work? How long have you done that? You might ask about your background, where you're from. And then move from more secular questions into more spiritual questions. You might ask about your religious beliefs. Do you have a church identity or affiliation? You might ask about what do you believe about? Do you believe there's a God? Do you believe there's a heaven or hell? And just sort of ask some questions to listen to what they have to say. And then from there, move into sharing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that Philip took the initiative. But not only did Philip sensitive and flexible and took the initiative, but number four, I want you to see, notice his method. In his method, he was very courteous with this Ethiopian official. Look in verses 31 through 34. Verse 31, when Philip asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, verse 31, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip takes the initiative, asks a question. It's a good question. The man says, I don't understand it. Can you explain it to me? He invites the man up into the chariot, and Philip goes up there. And then this is where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. He was reading from Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? Now, it's apparent that the Spirit of God had orchestrated this as a divine appointment. This was no mere happenstance. God's Holy Spirit brought this about. He had prepared this man, Philip, to share the gospel with this other man, this Ethiopian official. And so he's reading from Isaiah 53, which is, you know, a prophecy of the sufferings and passion of the Lord Jesus Christ that were given by the Spirit of God to Isaiah the prophet 8 centuries before it ever took place. It's a graphic description of the crucifixion of Christ. And so Philip comes up and they talk about this passage of Scripture. Verse 34, and the eunuch asked Philip, please, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Now, notice that Philip showed respect. He was very courteous. He asked a question. He waited for an answer, and then he listened. He listened obviously attentively, And then when the opportunity came, he began to respond. Now, as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know that the message can be offensive. The preaching of the cross is offensive to the carnal, natural mind because it goes against the sense of pride that characterizes the natural mind and the natural heart, that I can save myself. I don't need any outside assistance. But on the other hand, we need to be careful that we're courteous in our presentation of the message. The messenger should not be offensive, but thoughtful and respectful. Now, if the message of the cross offends, then so be it. But let's make sure that the offense is not something we say or do that is crude or rude or arrogant. But if there's any offense, it's the offense of the cross of Christ. And so be courteous. Philip was courteous. He asked a question. He listened. And then he gave an answer. That's the fifth trait of a successful soul. When we look in verse 35, notice that Philip focused on Jesus Christ. It's sort of hard not to focus on Jesus Christ when the person you're sharing with is reading from Isaiah 53, but nevertheless, that's what he did. Verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He talked about Jesus. Now, there is the danger that you and I face of never getting around to Jesus. We'll talk about our church. We're going to talk about Southern Baptist Convention. We're going to talk about our Sunday school class and what great fellowship we have in our class. We're going to talk about the music ministry at our church. We're going to talk about the youth ministry. We're going to talk about all the stuff that's going on and just never get to Jesus. No church ever saved a lost sinner. It's not our churches or our denominations or our ministries or our programs. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Now, he was talking about his soon coming crucifixion where he was lifted up on a cross. But I don't think we misabuse that text to make the application to say if we lift up Jesus, if we talk about Jesus, if we point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will draw sinners unto himself. And that's exactly what Philip did here. He gauged this man in conversation from Isaiah 53, and then he went straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. He began with that passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. Now, Jesus is good news. But he's only good news to those folks who know that they're desperate and wicked and guilty and sinful and helpless apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep the focus on Jesus. Talk about Jesus. The Spirit of God has promised to bless our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number six and finally, I want you to notice that he engaged in some follow-up, some immediate follow-up. Look in verses 36 through 39. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. It must have been an oasis out there in this desert. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Now, why would he say that? Well, we got to read between the lines here. Apparently, after he had shared the gospel, he was saying, "Now, you know, if you really believe in the Lord Jesus and you want to follow the Lord Jesus and be his disciples, you want to declare that publicly by being baptized." So maybe they're having a conversation, and all of a sudden they're going down this desert road, and here's an oasis, and there's some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop. Philip didn't order the chariot to stop. It wasn't his chariot. It was the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Our witness for Christ is really not completed until the convert has followed the Lord Jesus through the waters of believer's baptism. We ought to, if we have the privilege to pray with someone to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we need to talk to them about the importance of church membership, of being a part of the body of Christ, of serving in the family of God. And of course, the initial way to come into the church is to submit to believer's baptism. And so here we find in the life of Philip several traits of a successful soul winner. This is a pattern for us in our own personal witness. You say, well, God can't use me. Yeah, He can. You may not ever stand in a great stadium like Billy Graham and preach to thousands. You may never stand in this pulpit to preach the Word of God. But God can use you one-on-one with somebody you know, somebody in your family, somebody in your office, somebody in your classroom, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your circle of friends, somebody. If we'll walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. In a couple of weeks, we will once again resume some equipping classes in personal evangelism. As you may recall, for 15 years, we taught people to share the gospel through evangelism explosion, and God used that, and many of you in this room have been equipped to share the gospel through personal evangelism. And after that, we used, for 9 years, the faith method of sharing, teaching people to share the gospel. Last fall, we decided to use a multifaceted approach, and we will do so again this spring. And all the members of your equipping staff will be offering some method to you to learn to share the gospel. Now we're all commanded to share the gospel, and now we have this. You have available for you on the part of our pastors a willingness to share you, to help you learn how to share the gospel. And so if you'll be on the lookout for that in the next couple of weeks. These soul winning methods are diverse. Some are more intense than others. Some will be training over a period of 6 or 8 or 10 weeks perhaps. Some will be training over a period of 3 or 4 weeks. Just look for that. And don't say, I can't, because you can. And let us help equip you to learn to share the gospel, because there are multitudes of people right here in our city who are lost. They're on their way to hell. And you and I have the good news about Jesus who can save them. Let me pray for us. God, our Father, we thank you now for the gospel that's come to us, the gospel that has redeemed us, and the gospel that has given us the hope of eternal life. And Lord, I pray for all of us here at Lakeview that we might take more seriously than ever before in this new year of 2009, our responsibility and our privilege to declare the good news to those we know who are lost in sin and who need a Savior. Lord, help us to be like this man Philip, to faithfully declare the message of life to those who are dead in trespasses and sin. In Jesus' name, amen.